Today on Real Radio.
The key to understanding Bible is the context of where it lands in Scripture. Church, never take a verse out of a chapter and build a doctrine on that one verse. That would be dividing the Word of God in a wrong fashion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13, which records a lot of these parables and explains also what parables are, as well as their audience and their intent. Now this time, we're also going to look at Luke chapter 11, where we read of another of these analogies, if you will, which is also a challenge to the listener, by the way, that speaks of persistence. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called The Parable of Persistent Prayer.
What does it mean? We're going to look at this tonight, persistent prayer, or to be persistent at prayer. And when you mention the word prayer, most often, the Christian has a tendency to hang their head down because I think no matter how much we pray, we feel like we don't pray enough. I think that's true. But then on the flip side also, a Christian walks around in an attitude of prayer. And I'm wondering if you recognize that. I'm wondering if you realize that. I'm wondering, church, tonight, if you recognize how much you do pray. I think you may pray a lot more than you think. Because you and I have the tendency to think that prayer is when we're only in our prayer closet or in our alone time or when we're bowed in knee, that's the prayer time. That certainly is prayer time. But you're going to see tonight that the Bible is revealing to us that prayer is something much more common among the believer. I want to believe, as Charles Spurgeon believed, that prayer in the spiritual life is just like our lungs working every moment of the day and bringing in O2 and expelling the poison out of our body, the spent air and the oxygenation of our blood cells. That is just natural. You don't think about it. We just do it. So this could be very encouraging tonight, I pray. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, which sets up the stage. Matthew 13 is really the holy of holies of parables. Matthew 13, 1, and on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. That is Galilee, Tiberias. And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke, verse 3, many things to them in parables. And so now he cast out divine truth alongside the ears, the minds of the hearer. And a parable, as you guys well know now, a parable is a tool designed by God to deliver truth wrapped up in a common expression or a common picture of the day. The parables that Jesus used then, they would be different for us if he were to speak them in our culture. He might use today, a man went out to the Apple store to buy a Mac. I mean, he would use things that we would all, oh yeah, yeah, I know that. He would say things like, a man, you know, got his kids and went to Disneyland. And while he was going, we would go, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. He would speak so relative to our culture, to what we live. And they all got it. But there were those who heard what he was saying, but they didn't get it. Two people could hear the exact same delivery, and one get it, and the light comes on, and the other one, nope, I don't get it. And not only does that word exonerate one person because their heart is open, but the other person, that very same word that could give life to one guy winds up being condemnation to the other. And it's all based upon how receptive the heart is to the truth of God's word. So when we talk about persistent prayer and what Jesus is going to say to us in a parable, the word persistent in the Webster Dictionary means a tenacity, a determination, a doggedness, a resolve, a stubbornness. We're going to see that the Greek meaning is a little bit more colorful than that. Luke 11, verse 5 now. Turn to Luke 11, 5, and here's where we pick up in what Jesus is teaching us. Luke 11, 5, it only appears here in Luke's gospel, this parable. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, that is of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within saying, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me, that is in this compartment, this house, I'll explain in a moment, and cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.'" Bible students, note takers, jot this down. The key, listen, the key to understanding Bible is the context of where it lands in Scripture. Church, never take a verse out of a chapter and build a doctrine on that one verse. That would be dividing the Word of God in a wrong fashion. The context, chapter, section, where a verse is found, determines or wraps that verse in support. So when you read a verse, especially, boy, I tell you, it applies in all areas of doctrine, but it's never more powerful than when you look, for example, at Bible prophecy. You always want to read the verse in light of the chapter. And you will have a great example here tonight of the meaning and the necessity to understand what this passage, these few verses are saying, because the context shapes it for us. For example, you're in Luke 11, look at verse 1. Watch what precedes verses 5 through 8, and then watch what follows verses 5 through 8. Luke 11, 1. "Now it came to pass that as he was praying," aha, Jesus is praying, "in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" That's interesting, huh? Prayer must be taught. John did it. The disciples see their need to be taught. "So he," Jesus, "said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Look at the next verse that follows. Verses 5 through 8 is this parable about persistent prayer. But now look at verse 9. Remember the context. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil," Jesus is not beating up on these guys, he's saying, "if you then are just mere humans and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" Please underline that. That's critical to our study tonight. "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is a parable of contrast. It's interesting. It's a brilliant way of teaching. It's a little bit different than some of the things we've studied before. This is a parable of contrast, meaning this, that Jesus takes the lesson, listen everybody, and goes from the lesser, that is the raw presentation of it, And he's trying to get the listener's mind to move upward and land at the greater. He starts at the lesser, we can all understand that, and he's going to land them at the greater. You can do great destruction to yourself if you overanalyze this parable. Because, for example, you may be thinking, oh my goodness, wow, well, no wonder why I don't like to pray so much, because if I ask God for something, he's going to yell at me and say that he's in bed and he doesn't want to get up and answer. That's, by the way, how some interpret this verse, this passage. You see, when you take a little chunk of it and look at it that way, they'll say, oh my goodness, oh, prayer, why pray? God's going to yell at me. You got to read what we just read now in totality in Luke 11. Jesus is saying, listen, your Father in heaven, ask him, knock, seek, go after him. He wants to answer you. So what's going on here? None other than encouragement to pray, to engage ourselves now and to be encouraged to be persistent at prayer. It's very good news. Number one, persistent at prayer this way, in the face of life. Can you mark that down? In the face of life. We see this in verses 5 and 6. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? So he's telling a story that they all get, and go to him at midnight, and they're going, oh my goodness, that would not be good, but if somebody came, it must be very important. And say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. This is the scenario. To you and I, we go, what is he talking about? But let's put our sandals on and go back 2,000 years ago, first century Israel. Most people, unless you were wealthy, most people, this is how they went to bed. Okay, you with me? All right. Honey, it's time to go to bed. By the way, nobody stayed up late and worked on their stuff. Imagine this. When it came time for bed, no kid said, I'm just going to stay up a little bit and watch the Flintstones or something. No, 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 no. Okay, mom, honey, got fresh bedding. Most often it was a wicker type rolled out thing with padding underneath, straw, stuff like that. She lays down in the back end of the room. Most of them lived in one-room apartments, studio-type things, we would say today. Then dad would get the kids, get all the kids, and put them against mom. Then, now watch, this gets crazy. It depends on, do you happen to have a servant? If you have a servant, then the servant goes against the kids. Think about going to Subway tonight and building a sandwich. Okay, you're now tucking them in. If it is a very, very bad weather kind of night, or I am not kidding, if you have maybe some young sheep, some frail animal, you would bring the animal in. Isn't that something? The last one to lay down would be dad. He would be laying down between the doorway, the protector, the defender, and the family. And dad's got up before the rest of them to go do dad stuff in the morning. And so that's the deal. And it's a big ordeal. People are layered in, packed in for warmth and for safety, and the door is now shut, and ain't no one gonna open the door. It's a big deal. And if somebody knocks on the door, if dad's got to get up, he could wake up the animals or wake up the kids, and if everybody's up, then it's a bad deal. It's a big deal. Now do you see why the man is saying, hey, come on! Dude, it's midnight! You should have had some bread in your house. You know, why should I get up for your poor planning? The scenario, everyone in the hearing of this would have went going, oh man, don't you hate when that happens? Life happens that way. Persistent prayer. In this case, it's first century Israel, and that's how it looks. In your own life, in your own mind, set it up for you. Maybe it's different for you. Maybe it's different between you and I. But the guy is basically saying, come on, man, it's going to cost me so much to get up to answer your prayer, your request. It's midnight. My kids are in bed. My wife, everybody's tucked in. Come on. a parable of contrast. What does this mean? Jesus is teaching this because God is not like that. That's what this is about. If you've got a neighbor that you can't, watch this, it's kind of a hook. It's kind of cool. If you can go to your neighbor at midnight and knock on his door, and the issue is keep knocking, because there's a little bit of leverage, and I'm getting ahead of the game here, but it's kind of fun to keep in mind. If you keep knocking, he has to get up. You want to know why? In the Middle East, hospitality is number one. If you've ever been to the Middle East, it is amazing. Strangers will take care of you. It's remarkable. It's crazy. We were in Jordan one time on some crazy, a bit lonely road somewhere, and we thought we were going to die. We finally came to this, what looked like a gas station. And this guy comes out, totally wrapped up in Taliban-looking stuff. I thought it was the end of us. The guy almost broke his neck to give us Turkish coffee. Come here. How much is it? No. And I was with Amir, and Amir said, listen, you can't do that. You offer him money, it offends the guy. Stay tonight. No, really, we have to go. No, stay tonight. This culture, if you don't show forth hospitality, it brings a very bad name upon your home, your family name, and your village. People congregated together in housing. Not like us. We try to, you know, get a far away, build a wall, a fence around. Not them. They depended upon their neighbors. So if somebody's knocking on the door, the last thing you want is say, hey, come on, get out of here. The guy's probably going, get out of here. Can you just leave, please? Shh. The guy's knocking. You don't want your neighbors to look at your house and say, oh man, what a bum. He's not letting that guy in. Well, curse that family. Think of it. So there's a lot at stake here. The guy is, the visitor that is, the guy who needs the bread, he is, comes believing. He knows the culture. The answer will come inevitably. Are you getting this for yourself? So knock. And Jesus is saying, if a person who's a human is put out, and yet his culture requires him to give, and eventually he's going to get up and give, then God is not like that. God will give without you having to beat the door down. It's a contrast. Now, your mind, and it should raise this question. Well, wait a minute. Are you saying I just pray once and then leave? I didn't say that. Don't I do persistent prayer? Don't I stay at persistent? Yes, you do. But Jesus is contrasting from the lesser to the greater, from human response to God response. One is obligation. One is grace. God is willing to answer. Here's what your problem and my problem is. Think of it. The moment I said God is willing to answer, you might come back and say, well, then why didn't he answer me about this thing and that thing? Ah, I betcha he answered you. You didn't like the answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of Persistent Prayer, a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 through 8. The Parable of Persistent Prayer is part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, now recently here on Real Radio, you may have heard us tell you about Choose Charity. And this is especially important if you're a believer who belongs to a union. And if so, you may have visited Real Life with jackhibbs.org/choosecharity to watch the video we told you about. Well, here's that conversation between Pastor Jack and Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute.
Hey, we want to share something very exciting with you guys. And right now I have with me Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad's going to be telling us about something that can cause you and I to be better stewards in the kingdom of God and with all that God has given us. And it has to deal with union and your union dues.
Right.
So Brad, tell us about this legal
acceptable and really a right that every union member has to direct their funds where?
Yeah, well, to the charity that they believe in. And Pastor Jack, this is something that only 1 in 1,000 union workers are even aware of. So that's why it's so important we get out this information. Under Title VII, Federal Civil Rights Statute, they're entitled to have all of their union dues, every penny of it, all of it diverted to a charity of their choice if their union supports issues, causes, or candidates that they feel violate their beliefs and their convictions. And there's so many union workers out there who are in that situation where their union believes or supports things that they really don't believe in.
Sure.
And so so the law is there to protect them so they don't have to financially in any way support that union if it violates their beliefs and convictions. And it's so easy to do.
So you're saying it's legal, it's on the books, it's there for a union member to exercise. But let me ask you this. I've heard union members say regarding the way that they vote or the stickers on their car regarding a certain candidate, they have a little bit of fear of being intimidated or bullied by their union.
Right.
Well, how would you answer that? Would they be bullied if they chose to exercise their right?
Well, if the union is smart, they won't be bullied.
That's right.
And the reason is because Title VII, it's a part of the Civil Rights Statute. So if they're harassed, if they're bullied, then that union worker could file a lawsuit and we would represent them without charge for punitive damages.
Sure.
Against that union. And we're talking about huge damages. So unions in the past, you know, consistently, even the Teamsters Union,
yeah,
they back down because they know how powerful the Civil Rights Statute is when it comes to workers' rights.
So you're inviting Christians to exercise godly stewardship,
right,
to actually reclaim part of their union dues for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, all of their union dues, every penny for the kingdom of God. It's not just the political portion.
Goodness.
We're talking about agency fee, fair share fees, all of it.
So
diverted.
That's why a union would not want their members to know about this.
Exactly.
Even though it's their right.
Right. And then sometimes a union will say, well, it only applies to Jehovah's Witnesses. Or it only applies if you get a letter from your pastor saying you have to do this. All these kinds of weird obstacles. And that's why we created the choosecharity.org,
sure,
which makes it very easy for them to do this. And to have their dues go to a charity that they believe in, like, for example, your ministry.
Sure. But we're not being anti-union right now, right?
No. And, no. In fact, I encourage Christians, if they're part of a union and they have the position of leadership or influence or impact, you know, stay with it. Be a salt and light. It's a wonderful opportunity. We as Christians shouldn't surrender those. But if someone is a part of a union,
yeah,
that they know is supporting things that clearly go against God's,
sure,
word, choose this day who they shall serve. And the answer in that situation is to serve the Lord and then not support that union in any way, shape, or form.
So wrapping this up, you're providing a ministry opportunity, really, that's
right,
what it
without
is.
Without charge. Completely.
Without charge to be good stewardships over,
right,
the funds that God has given us and redirect those for the kingdom of God, all of this at the fingertips of a union member.
Right.
And
right,
it's completely legal.
Right, and we make it very easy. Very, very easy.
This is awesome news, you guys. So listen, this great organization, Pacific Justice Institute, they are allowing you to participate in this. And so we encourage you to do this, quite frankly, to get the word of God out, to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're all about here.
Right.
And you can do that by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. And every penny that you would direct in that way would go to advancing the gospel. It's not going to go to me. It's not going to go to anybody else. It's going to go to getting the word of,
right,
God out. What a great opportunity.
Right.
Thank you for being on the front line and taking care of that for us.
My pleasure. You keep up the great work, Jack.
Awesome. We'll
appreciate
do it together.
It.
God bless.
You got it.
Wow. Great news indeed. Again, we've made things pretty quick and simple for Real Radio listeners. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. Remember, this is your right, and it's really easy to get started. reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.